In the series, I want to continue off what we talked about last week, because dealing with the crisis that have come our way, and this is, in my opinion, many times how crisis work. They don't give you a two-day notice. They don't give you a week notice. They don't give you a month notice. Sometimes the crisis in life that we deal with are a making of our own. Many times it's stuff we never ordered off the menu of life. The three major crises hitting us, hitting our world right now, no one that I know of, no citizen ordered that. Pandemic, shutdown of your jobs, and a brutal death of George Floyd. None of those are acceptable. And like we said last week, we have to stand together. Folks, if we hide and let a few stand, then the enemy is stronger. But when we stand together and let our voice be heard, a change can come. Can I get an amen? But if I can go on a soapbox just for 2 minutes, and then we'll get into the word. This is so important. Let me encourage you. And as a nation, we've been around this before. And as people who live in St. Louis, we've definitely been around this before with the rioting in Ferguson. And I told you then, do not let the fear tactics of the media bring fear into your life. Because at the end of the day, news, media, what they need is eyeballs. And to get people, which means people watching, and to get people watching, they need stories that are out there. And they compete against each other. Because if no one's watching, they can't sell their commercials for that much money. If they get a lot more people watching, you know, and we've bought a lot of advertising over the years, and I'd have channels that we could get cheap commercials, and all of a sudden they became more popular, and they raised the rates. That's how it works, and that's how they make money. And so there is a natural human tendency for them to magnify things even bigger than they are, and I'm not downplaying the situation by any means. I'm definitely not downplaying the cause. Though I heard T.D. Jakes saying, if we're not careful, we'll let the rioters steal the message. But what I want to encourage you and challenge you to, we talked last week of how to discover your voice so that your voice can be heard. What I want to encourage you and challenge you is don't do this in the hype of the moment only. If we truly believe what we say we believe, then when the cameras are gone and the dust is settled, we should still be speaking our voice to see a change. If we stop and go back to the old routine when everything's settled, then we allow the old system to be maintained. And the system has to change. Things have to, and change doesn't come just because we have spoken. Change comes until we keep speaking, until we see the change. Can I get an amen? Do you see my point? Because there being in the near future, society as a whole is easily distracted. You don't believe that? Go back before George Floyd and everybody's afraid of a 6-foot distance. No one's thinking about a 6-foot distance right now. And I'm not saying it should be thought of. The point being is attention is easily distracted. But if you want to see change, you have to zero in your focus and attention and saying, I know maybe the protesters have gone home. I know the cameras have gone home, but there is still something that has to be done. The change is not complete. In my opinion, I'll preface it with that. In my opinion, if I'm wrong, just pray for me. In my opinion, what happens, it's like a heavyweight champion fighter going to the ring, and they walk to the ring, and the music's playing, and the people are cheering, and he gets into the ring, and when he gets in the ring, that's not the time to quit. Sure, it's exciting. Sure, they're all watching. Sure, the attention's on you. But when you get to the ring, that's the time to start looking who you need to fight. Too many people quit after the energy, the hype of the beginning, and they never follow through to see a change. What has to happen? Don't celebrate the introduction. Celebrate the change. Keep fighting. And if I can just take a moment, Bill and Connie Harge, where are you at? I just saw you a second ago. Where's Connie at? Do what? She's volunteering somewhere else? Well, I'm going to say this publicly because it needs to be said. She was running. We recognized her last week. She was running for the Ferguson-Florissant School District Board. Okay. And she didn't get enough votes. But listen to me. I want to publicly tell her that I am very, very proud of her. Because she's in the fight. Do you see the point? She's in the fight. She's putting her energy and effort to do something that makes a change. We need more people looking at the problem saying, I'm going to get in the fight and I'm not going to quit till I can see God use me to bring a change. If we don't like the system, let's change it. But it just doesn't change because we said it. We have to get in the fight. We need more. We need more Hope Church members running for aldermen and for a mayor and for a governor. Come on, We need people more in the school system and on the board of different. We need people saying, I'm not just going to run from the police. I'm going to get in the system and become a chief of police. Or I'm going to become a successful businessman so that use my platform to make a difference. You see my point? God, see, church, what we have bought the lies of the enemy from historically because we have thought that if we come inside the church that should be all that God wants. But God wants you to make a difference. That's why God wants you to excel out in the world, in your business, in your career, because that gives you a platform. That gives you a voice to bring influence, to bring a change. We can sing and clap in here and say, well, God, take care of it. God works through people. And that's where the devil has sold a lot of people saying, well, you went to church, that should be good enough. And God's really not going to bless you. God wants you blessed. God wants you successful. God wants you powerful. God wants you victorious. Why? Because it gives you a platform to produce change. And when you're a child of God, that change can and should be in line with the will of God. I'm glad you're protesting, those of you. We have a lot of people that are very actively involved. I see Kenny from another church who's a worship pastor in another church, and he's here today and leading a worship in the city of St. Louis. And a lot of people in our church and other churches were part of that. I celebrate that. I stand with you. I pray with you. I'll even march with you. But if it's only for a photo op, I'm not interested. Let it mean something beyond the emotion. Let it mean something that creates some motion. Let it mean something that brings true change. And let me tell you a tactic of the enemy. The tactic of the enemy will always be to intimidate you so you don't rise up. And then if you do rise up, the tactic of the enemy is to offer you something less so you don't go for what you've designed to go for. You'll see that all the time. People rise up and all of a sudden they get enough followers and influence and the evil people, and there are evil people. God loves all people, but there are evil people in the world with evil agendas. And they will try to entice. Matthew 13, that's where I get that from. The enemy's tactic, if he can't keep you out, he'll try to entice you to settle for something. And not only the church, but society has many times lost our ground because someone settled and sold us out. We need people rising up and saying, I'm going to have my voice be heard, and I'm going to win. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to settle for less. We are going for true, real change. Can I get an amen to that? Excuse me. Gospel of John, chapter 14, if you have your Bible. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. What I want to address today, last week we talked about finding your voice. Today I want to talk about finding your peace. Because it's one thing to not see the problem resolved. It's one thing to see, not see the system changed. And that's horrible. But what is also sad is when we see change in society. When we see a resolve in the situation, but the citizens are still left broken. We can fix stuff on the books, but do our people still feel broken? We can get the people that need to be in power in the position, but do we feel, are we left with brokenness? And in life, excuse me for a second. Thank you, Austin. In life, we have opportunities where the enemy will try to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Victory belongs to us. Part of the victory is not just finishing the race. Part of the victory is not ending with the brokenness of the storm on the inside of us. Because if I get through the heat of battle, I don't need to be smelling like smoke. Can I get an amen? If it's a God factor, then when I come out of the fiery furnace, I should not only come with the demonstration that Jesus is real, but I should not come out looking and smelling like I've been fighting for my life. And many people, though, on the outward we covered up, on the inside they're broken and they're busted and disgusted, and that's not what God had titled for each and every one of us by the blood of Jesus. In the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, the word that was used many times by the Jewish culture is shalom. Have you ever heard it? Shalom means peace, but even more than that, it's just not getting along with people, because there's many people you will never get along with. What shalom means, and it's not everybody likes you and you like everybody. It's not a matter of you have no enemies. Because if you're going to do any change, anything in life, you're going to find out the more visible you become, you'll not only have people who will follow you and like you, you'll have more people who hate you. And so you have to get past the people disliking you. Shalom literally means nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. And regardless of what crisis you're fighting today, or what, God forbid, crisis you might be fighting in the years ahead, I want to tell you that you not only can win, but you can win with victory at the end of the battle, but you can win with peace on the inside of you. You do not have to be on the inside a makeup of every crisis you have been through in your life. Why do you act that way? Well, you don't understand what I've been through. Then you need to get to the cross, because in the blood of Jesus, you are a new creation in Him. The blood can and has the power to redeem you, to settle with finality every question that might arise and put you in a place of peace and rest, that you know that although I came out of that, the enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy, but not only did I come out, I came out victorious, I don't live with a knee-jerk fear. Do you know what I'm referring to? You find somebody who's been abused, and every time someone lifts a hand, they jerk, because their natural inclination is to respond by their expectation that's been defined by their history of pain. Why did you break up with them? Because I think he was cheating on me. Why do you think he was cheating? He wasn't cheating on you. The first guy that was cheating on you broke your heart so bad that you see through the filter of every guy. And if he even looks cross or doesn't show you the right attention, your mind goes to a place it doesn't belong, because you are referring back to the old system of carnality into this new system of a renewed mind, Romans 12:2, and begin to see life the way God sees it, not the way you've been through it. It might not be popular, but I'm going to speak the truth that anytime a doctor calls you, your heart will not sink in the future anymore. I know you might have gone through a bad medical report, and anytime you see a doctor's report, your heart beats and your blood pressure goes up, but that's under the curse, and I break its authority. Matthew 18:18 gives me the right to take authority over it, and I bind it off your life, that next time you get a doctor's appointment, your heart rate and your blood pressure will not go up, because you're not expecting the worst based on your past. You are expecting the blood covenant to step between you and the situation, and you are healed in the name of Jesus. Next time you get a call from the bank, it's not going to be a, or next time you buy something with your, have you ever done this before? We've all been through, you hand them your debit card or your credit card, and they swipe it across the counter, and you stand there going, why is it taking so long? Right? And you're standing there thinking, what do I need to do? Who did this? Who spent money? Where's that money at? How am I going to pay for this? I'm so embarrassed. And you went through a whole plethora of emotion and nothing. And all of a sudden, the person on the other side of the counter says, I'm so sorry. Our system has been so slow today. We've all had that happen. I wanted to crawl over the counter and come on, somebody. Or some stores, I mean, you hand it to them, and it takes a while, and all of a sudden it goes, dan, dan, dan. And you look down and it says, approved. That's not the sound of being approved. That's the sound of... Somebody in marketing needs to fix that system, because the last thing you want to hear when you're buying something and you're wondering if you had enough money in the account to pay for it is, dan, dan, dan. Some of us, things are going well. You're taking care of both the dan, dan, sound of a rejection. It's caused us to get our blood pressure up, caused us to sweat, caused us to be nervous, caused us to be insecure, caused us to be timid. But God has not given you the spirit of timidity or fear, but a power, love, and sound mind. And I decree anything that's set against you, that's causing you to feel timid or weak, I bind in the name of Jesus. Next time you go to check your checking account or hand over your that fear, no more, no more. Say no more. Next time you see a police officer or lights, your heart's not going to sink in the name of Jesus. I curse that fear. They might be evil people and they might be good people. But the thing is, the devil's tactic is to put you in fear. And it wasn't, you weren't even in the situation. Have you ever been down, you're driving down the highway and a cop pulls over and you're like, oh, I'm busted. And he passes you by. We've all been there, right? I've gone down the highway. I know some of you, most of you, all of you. Drive, don't go over 60 miles. I've been driving down the highway not paying attention and see those lights. And I go quick into repentance. Oh, Jesus, I'm so sorry. I'll stay the speed limit. Come, I'll slow down, Lord. I'll be more attentive. And the cop passed me by and go, yeah, he didn't want me anyway. Go back to... Why do we allow the enemy to, because that's the Bible says that the shield of faith quenches the fiery darts. It's the fire. It's just not the darts. We have to deal with the darts, but we have to deal with the fire. We have to come to the place that you have. Are you listening to me? Great peace, Isaiah says. Great peace and undisturbed composure. It might not be acceptable or practical in most people's lives, but I'm telling you, the Word of God sets a standard that God can bring something into your life that only can come from God, that regardless of the storm around you, you do not quake, you do not shake. You have, I speak into your life, undisturbed composure today in the name of Jesus. If you believe that, give me a loud shout of amen. Say undisturbed composure. John chapter 14, verse 27. Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Say Jesus' peace. He's the Prince of Peace, isn't he? So that's a lot of peace, is it not? When I say hold your peace, I'm not talking about that gun, but if you have one, carry it with you if you want. God bless you. But Jesus said, he has given me. Say, he has given me his peace. Have you ever lost something before? We've all been receivers of stuff before, we've purchased stuff before, and then wake up one day and say, where is that? Maybe your phone. Have you ever lost your phone? It's amazing. All you have to do is look and see. Most of us have been on the phone 4, 6, 8, 10 hours. You know what I mean? It was bad enough when we didn't know. Now they tell us, you know what I mean, how many hours you've been on that phone, and yet we'll still lose it. Where is that phone? And now they have the technology. If you can't find it, what do? You can log in. Help me find my phone. And it'll start beeping. And for you to find it, you have to get it to start beeping. And you have to learn to get everything else quiet so you can begin to hear the sound of what you lost. There's times that, folks, we have to learn to get things around us to be silent so we can hear the sound of what we've lost. It belongs to us. Oh, Lord, give me peace. He's already given you his peace. What's greater than his peace? If I don't feel it or experience it, maybe it's I have it, but I've just lost it. And I have to get things around me quiet so I can begin to locate the sound of his peace. Jesus said, my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives it. If our peace is based on the premise or understanding of things around us, if our peace is, listen to me, this happens even in the church world, but it also happens at storms of life. If our peace is based on the stuff around us, okay, things are going smooth, I can have peace, then all you are is one storm away of losing your peace. If your peace is based on the approval of people, again, this happens in the church world, because even good people are not perfect people. Only Jesus is perfect. They might be sincere, but they're all. We should all be growing. And even the church where we've developed a whole system where people have to get approval of other people. If you need the approval of people to maintain peace, then you're only one opinion away of losing your peace. That's why I tell you around here, I'm not your Jesus. Don't call me to see if you should go on vacation. You pray. You follow the Lord. I'm not your Jesus. Do you want to know the average size of a church? And I am not bashing churches by any means. But if we can understand what's going on, and then we have a right to choose what we want to do. And if that's their choice, that's fine. My concern is when people don't know they're making that choice because they don't have the information. The choice is up to the individual. But the average size church is 72, 73 people. Because typically they have found out that that's the amount of time one person can pastor that many people. That's the same amount of people one person can basically pastor. So I can't be involved in everybody's life. And sometimes in pastoring, we've misunderstood. We think we're Jesus or we think we're the Holy Ghost. If I have to call you to find out if you've been cheating on your wife, listen, if you're cheating on your wife, you'll lie to me before you'll tell me the truth. Because a lie is a lesser sin in most people's opinion than adultery. We need I'm not against accountability partners. It's getting quiet, isn't it? I'm not against having people praying with you and being in your growing face and challenging. That's all cool. But you have to understand that what we need is not the approval of people. We need the approval of God. When you strive for the approval of people, it's almost like a mouse in that. And it just keeps going and keeps trying. And all of a sudden, the system gets real weird. Let's be real. People can get really weird when it comes to other people in power. And you have to recognize it and sometimes push it away, because some people, they want to be controlled. They want, it's the weirdest thing. It's like they want to be manipulated. It's if a person comes out of an abusive relationship and doesn't get healed, their own emotional makeup, listen to me. Have you ever seen or talked to a lot of times this happens with women. Have you ever talked to a woman that says, I don't know why, I just always find the losers. I fall in love with losers. And they're not wrong. What the problem is that they get involved emotionally with a person, and if they're abusive and they break away that relationship and don't get healed, their little emotional makeup will be attracted to the same type of abuse. And they'll walk, they'll be at a party, they'll be at a place and not know anybody, and someone walk in and their emotions will gravitate because there's something their emotion is picking up that their mind does not understand. And they're like, oh, I don't know, I just saw that guy walk in the room and I'm attracted to him. And you literally, your emotions become your worst enemy. not to go down this road too much, and this is not the teaching, but your emotional makeup is very interesting. It's very complex. That's right. Guys get involved in pornography. Couples get involved, sexually involved. Ooh, it's getting really deep in here. You start getting sexually involved with each other, intimate. Oh, we love each other. We'll one day get married. You are lying to yourself. And then when you break up, they're like, oh, I just love them. I just so your own emotions are so messed up, they're your worst enemy right now. You can't listen to your emotional makeup. You say, oh, I don't believe in any of that stuff. Really? Go on the fast, and that will tell you how the voice of your body and your emotions sound like. If you don't even believe in that stuff, you go on the fast, and you'll find that you got this. Why are you doing this? This is dumb. We need to eat that chocolate cake. I think you're right. You'll be having this whole conversation. That's right. That's why Proverbs says that anybody who commits adultery is really being foolish, because they're not only sinning, but they're sinning against their own body. Because your emotional makeup of your body will be drawn to something, pulling you stronger. That's why we need Jesus. The Word of God doesn't give you standards to make life harder. It gives you standards so you can enjoy life and be free. Say, I'm called to be free. I don't know who that was for. I'll just look down so no one thinks I'm looking at them. But that will just move right along. But when you allow the world to give you peace, back to this, when the world is giving you the peace, then the world can take it away. If your peace comes from pastor coming by and me patting you on the back and saying, you're doing a great job, and I should do that from time to time. I should encourage people. Pastors should be encouragers and help people. And we should do that as leaders. But if that's what you are feeding on, that shouldn't be the meat and potatoes of your life. Your peace should come from Jesus. Because there'll be times the Lord might ask you to do something that will literally tick off everybody that you care and respect. Careful. Lord, they're going to kill me when they find out. You want me to do what? There's always crossroads. That's where you find out who's the source of your peace. But when Jesus is the source of your peace, just like he did in the New Testament, he can stand up in a boat, rebuke the wind, and speak peace to the situation. And that's my point today. If we allow peace from the world to be our peace, then when it's gone from us. But if we learn to accept the peace that comes, that God has given us through Jesus, then all of a sudden we don't be the part of the problem. We can be the solution in the problem. Because now we're bringing something to the table that didn't come from the surrounding situations. We're bringing something to the table that came from heaven. For us to be part of the solution, we have to be the ones that bring peace to the situation and not let the situation bring peace to us. Praise God if your boss applauded you and said you did a great job. That's wonderful. You did your best. Keep doing your best. But I'm not going to do my best anymore. Why? Because he ignored my results last time. Before, he really drew attention to me and recognized me in front of everybody, made me feel good. This time, he didn't do that. Well, you're really fighting for the wrong reason. The Bible says work is unto the Lord. When you do that and you walk away from a job, you say, Lord, if no one recognizes this, I'm doing this under you and I'm honoring you and I thank you and let the Holy Spirit give you a peace, the Bible says, that exceeds your understanding. Let the Lord give you a peace that the Amplified Translation says that will settle with finality all questions that arise in your mind. John chapter 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Have you noticed that when we lack peace, our heart is troubled? Neither let it be afraid. If it's troubled and you're dealing with fear today, what you're missing is the location of your peace. Let's learn to settle stuff down and begin to listen for the sound of his peace that already belongs to you. See, I have the peace of God. Say, I have the peace of God. Psalms 119, verse 165. Are you still with me today? Those who love your law have great peace, and nothing causes them to stumble. those who love your law, those who love God's word, those who love God's word. Years ago, I got a business degree in computers and management, and part of the phrasing back then, I think it's still used today, is G-I-G-O, GIGO, garbage in when you're coding or programming, garbage in, garbage out. You could tell your professor, you could tell people, I've worked all night on this program. The question is not if you worked all night or have a lot of lines of code. The question is, when we start it, what does it do? And if there's garbage in, there's going to be garbage out. And so the professor doesn't even have to look at the code, because if it's not working, he knows there's a problem on the input that's creating the problem on the output. What am I telling you? If I'm dealing with fear, it doesn't mean I'm dealing with that I'm a bad person. It's garbage in. How much garbage have we allowed in? How much garbage have we allowed in? That's why the Bible says, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. Jesus told the disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They thought he was talking about bread. He goes, I'm not talking about bread. I'm talking about teaching. I don't care who says it. One of the rhythms around here at Hope Church is to teach you to be a critical thinker, not to be acceptive and passive with every idea that comes down the road, because that's a part of spiritual immaturity, is being tossed to and fro by every idea that comes. No, I want to teach you to be a critical thinker, that if I say it, if anybody says it, if they're on TV or they're famous, it don't matter. Whatever they say, challenge it with the word of God. I want the first thing that comes across when your mind, you hear the word, and me or anybody preaching or saying something, you ought to think, where is that in the Bible? I'm going to check that out. I'm going to read the verses around it. I want to get more references. Why? Because as you dig, you will grow. Too many times human nature, we want to lower the standard of requirement. Give me as much as I can with the least effort. And the reality is, in the church, we have historically, in the church, we have made that mistake, and we hand feed people everything that we think they need. And that's not enough. You have to have a desire on the inside. You have to learn to dig into the word, rightly dividing the word of truth. You have to learn to take the tools that God's given you and pursue. James says, draw near to God. Most people have never had the tools on how to find things in the Bible, how to dig it, how to research it. You have to develop those things, because if you accept everything that's coming down, someone might be a good person and misspeak. They might be a good person being misinformed, or they might be an evil person trying to manipulate you. But if you accept everything like a baby bird does, you're going to find garbage in, garbage out. Why am I dealing with this? How much have you, what have you been eating mentally and emotionally and spiritually? If I listen to hate all the time, I will start developing the tendency to hate. If you watch movies that are about lust, you will start finding yourself struggling with lust. If you plant tomato seeds in your backyard, not today, not tomorrow, but in the process of the journey, you will get tomatoes. Don't plant tomato seeds and expect carrots. It don't work that way. If you plant in your heart, Matthew 13 in Mark's gospel, because what we listen to, it's like a planting of a seed in our heart. If you plant fear, it doesn't happen immediately. Oh, I can handle it. The next time someone tells you they can handle it, smack them. And then run. Just joking. Because a tactic of the devil is to tell them, you can handle it. And maybe they can in that moment. But the devil's patient enough to wait for the wrong moment. And they find themselves now producing fruit that they thought, why am I dealing with this? Those who love your word, when we plant the word into our life. Those who love your word. The secret to peace is found in the word. 2 Peter 1:2, great peace. Peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be multiplied through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peace be multiplied. Why? It comes and it's multiplied. We can pray, but if all we do is pray and then move away, we struggle for peace. Oh, Pastor, the Bible says, don't be anxious for anything, and it does. But in everything, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which exceeds your understanding. You got to understand that the Bible, you don't want to isolate one verse, and it all comes in context. But Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. What happens? Most people have done a quick prayer and said a quick Thanksgiving and walked away still freaking out the way they were before they started. What's missing? The word works. The word works. The word works. The what's missing? What is missing? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 15 says, in returning to me and rest. Say, and rest. Do you know, a lot of people, they turn to God for a quick fix and they're not interested in resting. Some Christians, nobody here in the name of Jesus, some Christians, they treat God like he's their drug dealer. And I need to get a fix as quick as I can and move on to my routine. But notice here, when you do that, it doesn't work. It takes the process. That's why we do these stuff with special meetings even. Because if you're like, oh, I'm not used to like reading my Bible on my own. Well, we work with you to try to help you out and set things up. Having an extended meeting gives you a chance to rest in the presence of God and in his word. Those who are returning to me, the word of God says, returning to God and rest, you shall be saved. And in quietness and confident trust is your strength. Think about that. In quietness and confident trust is your strength. Say, I have peace.
I have peace.
Many times we want, okay, give me my peace, let me move on. But if you really want to experience the peace of God, you have to learn to slow down a little bit. There's some times in my life I have had storms around me that raged to the point that I felt the physical pressure of it. But I knew I had to keep, what did I do? I kept saturating my mind and my heart with the Word of God. And I stayed in there. I read it or I listened to someone preaching. I would go to sleep with earbuds. And to this day, I still do it as a routine. I would put earbuds in and I would sleep hearing the word spoken, hearing the word taught. Why? Because I knew the power of the word. And I would, even when I was working, I'd be on a computer working on some other project. I'd have the word coming into my ears and I would keep doing it. And I'd keep doing it because I knew there's a tipping point that all of a sudden I would go from the feeling the winds of the storm to sensing the peace of God. It works. It works. Psalms 85, verse 8. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. Don't look for voices. We teach you around here, God can speak to you where it almost sounds like he's talking to you. But if you start looking for voices, the devil will accommodate to create confusion. You look to the word. Because when God's speaking to you, most of the time, it's not the articulation of sound to your ear, it's the revelation of his word to your heart. It's not the articulation of sounds to your ear, it's the revelation of his word to your heart. Lord, I'm going to get in your word, and I'm going to get in your presence, and I'm going to sit here. And our flesh will scream. Some of you right now, you're like, come on, Pastor, get this over with. I want to go to lunch. It's only 11:39. No one's eating right now. There's no rush. The Lord speaks. You got to tell yourself to chill out. Calm down. Be still. Doesn't the Bible say, be still and know that I am God? Doesn't Psalm 23 say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside. We get still so that he can speak. So that he can speak. And when he begins to speak, reveal his word to you, you get peace. You're blessed with this peace that belongs to you. And all of a sudden, it's just not I have it, I'm experiencing it. And though there's a storm still around me, the storm is no longer inside me because I'm a firm believer. If it works, the devil knows what buttons to push to get you derailed, to get you freaking out, to get you falling apart, to get you crying and go, oh, why me? And if it works, he will keep hitting the button I'm so fired up. Today's going to be, this is the day the Lord has made. And the first person that cuts you off, I'm going to have a great day. The Lord is with me. He will not never leave me nor forsake me. And you run into traffic. I found a great way to deal with traffic. I found how to make the devil work for me. The moment I feel and see traffic, I do not like traffic. I'd rather drive twice the distance on an open highway than a short distance bumper to bumper traffic. I don't like it. Just me. Maybe you like it. God bless you. You probably came from Los Angeles. Hallelujah. I got to go to a mile. That'll take you 3 hours. I'm not interested in that. But I found in my own life, when I would hit traffic, I would start to get frustrated. And I found how to turn this thing. And it works for me. It might not work for you. I hit traffic, and I feel that sensation of frustration. And I just say out loud, well, as long as there's traffic slowing me down today, I'm going to use this time to pray. It's amazing how fast that devil moves that traffic out of the way. It's like the Red Sea splitting. Everybody just starts getting out of your way. Because the longer you're in traffic, the more you're going to praise him. The longer you're in traffic, the more you're going to pray. The longer you're in traffic, the more you're going to worship him. The devil don't want you to do that. He'll make sure that all of a sudden you're like, where's all the traffic anymore? But if he can push the button and make you freak out, he's going to keep pushing the button. The Lord speaks peace to his people. Say, thank you, Father, for speaking peace to my life. But remember, Genesis 12:2, God will bless you to be a blessing. God doesn't want just to bless, bring a blessing to you. He wants to bring a blessing through you. And the key is not only receiving the peace of God on the inside, finding your peace. The key is also releasing that peace to other people. Like we said last week, your voice needs to be heard. But if you haven't found your voice, why are you talking? You're just noise. You're noise in a chaotic situation and no one can discern what's being said. But when you find your voice, all you need to do now is to find the listeners. Listen to me. You're called to somebody. You're not called to everybody, but you are called to somebody. Your somebody could be different than the person next to you. Your somebodies might be more than the person next to you. That's irrelevant. But you're called to somebody. Say, I'm called to somebody. God designed you to make an impact in the life of somebody, at least one. I guarantee more than one. But let's just keep it simple. You're called to somebody. Your voice doesn't need to be heard to those that God hasn't called you. When the student shows up, the teacher will stand up. We allow our voice. You got to identify your voice. When you identify your voice, then you got to find the moments that God's called you to let your voice be heard. Because when God says, now speak, it's because he's already positioned somebody on the receiving side. And they may or may not receive what you are saying. That's between them and Jesus. But why speak at a wall that no one hears? For you to have a voice, you must value that voice. And when you understand, I have peace on the inside and God doesn't want me to keep it. He wants me to share it. And you share it just like you received it. God speaks peace. He speaks peace to his people. So what do you do? You begin to say what God wants you to say. Your mouth, like Paul says, becomes a pen of a ready writer. You become having in your mouth words in due season. And it might not be the word peace. It might be, I understand. It might be, I'm praying. Whatever it might be, I'm not giving you suggestions to copy. But I'm telling you, when you get the peace on the inside, wait for the moment, the receiver. And Jesus said it this way in Matthew's gospel 5:15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. Have you heard this verse before? And it gives light unto all that are in the house. Not everybody's in your house, but those who are in your house will see the benefit of the light that is shining from you. When God brings those people into your influence and gives you the moment, speak, release what God is saying. Because it will bring peace to those people. We need something to be said to our community. We need something to be said to the leaders of our city, our counties, our state, and our nation, and our world. But we also can't forget to turn to those who are behind us and speak peace to their life. They might be your children. They might be those you are mentoring. But if we don't learn how to speak the peace of God, to speak the wisdom of God, then what happens is generations grow up being shaped by the surrounding of a problem and not by the truth of the word. You can look at them and say, this looks bad. This is bad. But we're not only going to make it, we're going to come out and see God do something that nobody can argue away. Speak peace. Say, I have my peace. Say, I'm holding my peace. Let me speak the word into your life if I can. And then we'll close. And you can use some of this, all this. These are just verses and scriptures that I encourage you to speak God's word. You got to speak the word of God into the lives of your children. You got to let them know, listen, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Teach them and give them wisdom, but don't give them fear. Teach them things to do and not to do and what to avoid and what where, but also don't give them fear. Instruction doesn't have to bring fear. So I want to speak this into your life as I do my daughter, my home, and into Hope Church. And if you're a guest today, we're going to call you family today. But I decree and declare that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every word of judgment spoken against you is condemned in the name of Jesus. Isaiah 54:17. If you receive that, say amen. I speak over your life that you are not here for sudden destruction or calamity. Proverbs 24:22. For you are here for a great purpose. Destiny is upon your life. Jeremiah 29:11. Do you agree with that? Say amen. I decree and declare that you are focusing from this day forward. Your emphasis and focus is on the plans from heaven and not the plans from hell. Colossians 3:2. I decree and declare that every assignment of the enemy for your destruction is canceled in the name of Jesus, and every curse that's assigned against you, I don't care how long it's been chasing you, hounding you, or with you historically, starting right now, you are free in the name of Jesus. Matthew 18:18. I plead the blood of Jesus over the families of Hope Church, and I demand that any and every death angel to pass, leaving you untouched and unharmed, Exodus 12:13 and Revelation 12:11. I call the warring angels of the Lord to surround and protect you and your family from all harm. Psalms 34:7. Can I get an amen? I decree and declare that the families of Hope Church shall live and not die, and they are declaring the works of the Lord. Psalms 118:17. I call the peace of God that exceeds understanding to keep your heart and mind. Philippians 4:7. If you agree, say amen. And families of Hope Church, let me read this out of Habakkuk 3:19 amplified. The Lord God is your strength, your source of courage, your invincible army. Whew. Not invisible, invincible. He has made your feet steady and sure, like a deer's feet, and makes you walk forward with spiritual confidence. We're not going backwards, we're going forward with spiritual confidence on high places of challenges and responsibility. I gotta read that one more time. The Lord God, say, the Lord God is my strength. He is my source of courage. He's my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure, like hinds feet. He makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on high places of challenge and responsibility. See, you start speaking that into your home, and that into your children, and that into your life. You know what's going to happen? The word of God begins to stir up on the inside of you. Faith comes by hearing the word of God, and things begin to change. Things begin to change. Things begin to change. It has to. Isaiah 55:11, it will not return void, but accomplish that to which it's sent. He's elevated his word above his name, Psalms 119. He watches over his word. When you are silent, you are victimized. Let me prove that to you. Even in the life of Jesus, do you know why they prophesied that Jesus, when he went to the cross, did not speak? Because if he did, he could have changed it all. when they came to capture him, and they said, Jesus asked them, who are you looking for? And they said, Jesus the Christ. And he said, I am he. What did the soldiers do? They fell back. The power of his word was so strong that just the acknowledgement of who he was, they could not. Trained Roman, they could not stop him. And he told, if that was, that was one example. The other example, he told the disciples, don't you realize I could ask my Father and he would gladly give me 1,000 angels? What was he saying? If I opened up my mouth, I will stop this whole thing. He said, no man takes my life. Let's be clear. No man takes my life. I give it willingly at any time through the crucifixion, through the beating, through the torture. He could have said enough and opened his mouth. That's the power of speaking the word of God. When we sit quietly and complain, we are identifying we don't understand the power of his truth and his word. But when you stand and say, wait a minute, I might not feel it, but the Bible didn't say feel strong, it said be strong. I recognize who I am. And you begin to declare with God's word. It's not mind over matter. It's not calling stuff weird. It's not denying what is happening. That's not faith confession. Faith confession is not saying what is not. Faith is saying, oh, I deny. You're running a fever. Oh, I'm not running fever. Yeah, the temperature says you're running fever. Faith is not denying the fever. Faith is saying, I choose something that I do not feel as a reality, and by his stripes I am healed. I'm not denying the problem. I'm not denying the hatred. I'm not denying the racism. I'm not denying the fear. I'm not denying the violence. But I said, I'm going to change the situation, because in my garden, no weeds have to grow. I plant what I want to grow. You have that kind of authority. I heard one preacher say, had a member come and say, I'm so afraid I hear demonic voices in my house. He said, it's because you're too quiet. Don't you understand the voice of his word resounds as many waters? Don't you understand that the thunder of the word of God thunders in the realm of a dimension called eternity that we have yet to experience in this fullness? But when you speak God's word, demons tremble because the weight of that glory of his word so reminds them that they are under. Hallelujah. You might feel like the leopard walking down the road to get food, but God's taken every step and resounded it like an army to the ears of your enemy. Let them hear God's word. Find your peace and begin to share it to those who God calls you and signs you to. And watch God work in a powerful way. See, I have peace. I have God's peace. Take 30 seconds and give him a praise for what he's done in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you for your peace, Father. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus, there is no peace without Jesus. I'm not talking about joining a church, denomination, or religion. I'm not interested and trying to get you to sign your name to something. This is all about a real relationship with Jesus. I'm not interested in what many people call religion. I define religion as man's rules to get to God. It doesn't work. I'm not asking you to jump through hoops. I'm asking you to accept him as your Lord and Savior. It's a miracle above miracles. It's a real relationship. And the way you process, experience, and think, that you can know without any question, shadow, or doubt, that Jesus is real and your Lord and Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you don't know him, today's your day. Revelation 3 says, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice open up, I'll come in. Pray this prayer with me. If you don't know him and you want to know him, pray this prayer with me. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of all my sins. I turn to you today. I believe with my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, wash me in your blood, forgive me, cleanse me, give me a fresh start. Say, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I ask you right now for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. I receive salvation today. I receive forgiveness today. Thank you for saving me. Amen. Amen, church.